Well, I tell you what, maybe we'll have ourselves a little Christmas right here. Come on, everyone, gather around.
String up the lights and light up the tree. We're gonna make some revelry. Spirits are high, so I can tell it's Christmas time in hell. Demons are nicer as you pass them by. There's lots of demon toys to buy. The snow is falling and all is well. It's Christmas time in hell. There goes Jeffrey Dahmer with a festive Christmas ham. After he said that he'll read up all he can. And there goes John F. Kennedy caroling with his son.
Reunited for the holidays, God bless us everyone. Everybody has a happy glow, let's dance in blood and pretend it's snow.
Even Mao Zedong is under the spell,
it's Christmas time in hell.
Adolf, here's a present for you.
What?
Yes, a Tannenbaum.
God cast me down from heaven's door to rule in hell forevermore. But now I'm kind of glad that I fell, because it's Christmas time in hell.
Here's a rack to hang the stockings on. We still have to shop for Genghis Khan.
Michael Landon's hair looks well. It's Christmas time in hell.
There's Princess Diana holding burning mistletoe. Over poor Jean Siskel's head, just watch his grow.
For one day we all stop burning, and the flames are not so thick. All the screaming and the torture stops as we wait for old Saint Nick. So bring up the lights and light up the tree. We're damned for all eternity, but for just one day, all is well. It's Christmas time in hell.
Gather close together and make it quick. We gotta make room for Andy Dick. Wake his mother and ring the bell. It's Christmas time.
Thanks so much. That really was unnerving.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
Just dropped to the floor.
That was really freaky just now. Not the Christmas time in hell thing. Hello there. Thank you for... That was, I had like a little snakes on a plane flashback there for a second. Tim Riley will be speaking the rest of this program in parcel tongue for you Harry Potter fans out there. You got to stop that. It's freaking me out.
I'm picking up by the festivity of the parade downtown. Whatever department store that was.
I should explain what we're talking. As Barry Manilow would say, can you sweeten my microphone just a little bit? Thank you so much. There you go. Hello. It's...
What the hell is it?
It's 3 minutes and 22 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of November, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It is Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. We're live. Here's why I was all weirded out by Tim going just a second ago. We've got the, there's this thing that happens, and I'm not even really sure. Some of this stuff, I can never really tell if anybody else is able to hear it or not, or if they just think that I've gone crazy. Not that the two are necessarily mutually exclusive, but I... Krista, can you do me a favor? You don't need to pot it down. Just turn off the Dream Theater bit for a second. Okay, now open that Lycus channel. Now, see, I don't know if anybody can hear that. It's one of those things where when it's all gets squashed down for AM broadcast, because the frequency response, the frequency range, is like when you listen to music on FM and then you listen to music on AM. This is, you know, this is two different. So Scotty's claiming he can't hear it. Great. So it really is just in my head.
Well, he's my age. You can hear it over the monitors.
That's true. You're not entirely deaf yet, Krista. Tim can't really hear it, and Scotty can't really hear it, because Scotty was a wedding DJ, and Tim is just, you know, has spent half of his life with headphones pounding into his brain. All right. Anyway,
I'll be there.
So someday. All right. Well, thank you. You can put it back. But there is a channel on the board. Because we've seen a radio control board, you know what it is. It's a whole bunch of different channels, a whole bunch of different volume knobs, basically, that bring up different things. Some of them control the CD player, some of them control the computer. And there's this one channel on the board through which all of the satellite programming, which is like Likas, Stephanie Miller, John and Jeff, blah, 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 that all the programming comes down. And the thing is, when there's no audio actually coming over, because we carry Jim Cramer on that channel up until about 8 minutes ago, when the channel is turned up, but they're not feeding any audio, there is very audibly in this room a very distinct sound that goes in the background, and it just drives me crazy. And I'm the only one. Tim can't hear it. Scotty can't hear it. When Sarah's here, she never notices either. But it just drives me crazy. I'm always having to start the show by having somebody turn it off. So just as we were beginning, this is a long, long way to go to explain something that happened. I heard that.
That was weird.
I know that played.
Best show ever.
So, were you trying to go to the mono bed?
Yeah.
And, well, all right, there we go.
There we go.
But so just as we were beginning today's program, I had asked, moments before the microphone went on, I asked Kristen, I said, can you turn off that Tom Likas satellite channel? Wait.
Okay. Mice?
Now it's happening again. Is that pot up again?
No.
Okay, did somebody just hear a...
Yeah.
Can you turn off the mono bed for a second?
Hold
on. Let's everybody listen now. I'm pointing the microphone at the floor of the studio. Well, now it's stuck.
Maybe a hostage is being held on that mysterious second floor that we can't get to.
This is just weird. I feel like I'm in the Amityville Horror. Get out! Right, hold on. We're just going to be quiet for a second. I swear to God, there was just a loud pounding sound coming from the floor beneath me.
Yeah, he's not hearing things. They know.
This is really your way to a 15 share right here. You can hear Hume becoming core out there.
They have just been pulled from their cell and beaten.
Well, now it's gone. It was... Jesus Christ.
Somebody's been given a talking to.
All right. Okay.
Well, thank you. It's the best silent show ever. Thank you, Scotty. All right. I swear, now you know as soon as we start talking, it's going to start again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to anybody listening, it just sounds like we've gone crazy today.
But it's live.
I haven't even explained the hissing thing, and now there's a weird knocking coming from underneath my feet here on the floor.
Maybe that would be a K-Lite DJ that got lost.
I don't know.
They never had DJs.
It's the ghost. We really should do that. That should be our new radio play for this year. We'll do a... Hold on, I'm going to make a note to myself. I just had a great idea for this year's radio play. All right. Anywho... I haven't even explained this other thing. So, long story short, so just as we were going on the air, I asked Kristen Bowie's filling in for Sarah Dillon, like, hey, can you turn off the Likas channels? Give me the hiss. She turns off the channel. The hiss goes away, but then I still hear it. And I look over, and Tim is just leaning into the microphone going, which was really bizarre, because for a moment, I swear to God, I thought that my brain had just fallen right out of my head and I'd gone crazy. And then just like 2 minutes ago, just as we were telling the story, there was a really loud pounding noise that I swear to God was coming from underneath our feet here in the studio.
I could almost feel, like, the vibration.
I could feel it. It was there.
Well, all right.
It's the only coin employee working and wants to go home.
It's the one guy they forgot to automate. It's the one live employee that they forgot to fire. All right.
As he's carving help me into the wall.
Seriously. Tapping out in Morse code, I am still here. Need food. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It is Friday. It is the day after Thanksgiving. Thank you for coming by. Here come the emails. Rick, thanks for letting us listen to the sound of your floor. Gripping radio indeed. I will be here every minute of today's program. All right, well, that's what I do. If you want to call in today for whatever godforsaken reason, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com, with your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your what have you. All right, before we do anything else, he is joining us today. All right, let me find the appropriate noise here, and we will welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program.
Thank you. Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend Mailman Chris, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am doing quite well.
All right. Now, have your supervisors listened to you on this radio program since we clarified this whole business of when you were and were not allowed to call in, and B, since we got rid of the machine gun noise?
I have not been spoken to by anybody, so I'm going to assume that Yeah.
I don't want to be accused of insensitivity or endangering anybody's employment with the state.
Nope. There's nothing demeaning about a chicken sounder. And let's go. Maybe Scotty J could throw some bagpipes in there, too.
I had to stop him from doing it.
And I since Aaron's at the beach today, I'm taking my lunch now, so I saw you guys this morning.
God bless you. What time did you go to work today?
7:30.
Now, I thought your gig didn't start till like 10, though.
Well, you got to go in the office at 7:30 in the morning, putting up all the mail.
All right.
And I'm putting it into that case that I took a picture of that one.
So the post office is open and operating today?
Absolutely.
All right, because now let me ask you this. We'll talk to you. Tim, you were at the post office earlier today. You had a mail.
I went to mail a package, yes.
Oh, God. And is it just hell? Is it a zoo?
Not yet, but all the people in line are stupid.
Well, that's the thing. And Chris, I mean, now, I'm not going to ask you to weigh in on this because obviously that would be, I don't wish to put you in any sort of awkward position. But there really is, I don't understand why the post office is such a magnet for goddamned idiots. I don't understand because it's like, I forget who made this observation. It might have been Jerry Seinfeld or somebody, but somebody made this observation that everybody who drives has to have a driver's license, right? That is the thing. Everybody who operates a car has to have a driver's license, which is whatever. That's like, 220 million people or so in this country. Of those people, there's a whole bell curve. Some people are ugly, some people are pretty, most people somewhere in between. But when you go to the DMV, they're all ugly, all of them. You've never seen anybody good looking at the DMV, not working there, not in line, not wandering by. It is just like some sort of magnet for the defective among us, both physically, aesthetically, and otherwise. With the post office. Smart people gotta mail stuff too. I don't know. Is there like a special post office for people that are normal looking and people that don't? Because there's, and I'm always behind the guy. And what is it? Well, I've got 15 koala bears and no twine with which to mail them. I don't know. Please not to help me. And I'm always behind that guy, and I'm ready. I've got the thing boxed. I've got a package. I've got it sealed. I've got it labeled, taped, addressed. I've got the appropriate postage. I am ready to mail it. You know, and then I'm behind that guy who's fishing around in his, the bottom of his bag for an extra 15 cents to try to buy, stamps or something.
And then they're told exactly what they have to do, and they still argue about it.
I'm stuck behind the crazy cat lady who can't decide what sort of stamps she wants.
Oh, I've been behind that woman, too. Well, the Sesame Street stamps look really great, but I also like the one with the polar bear playing with a ball.
Do you have any more Elvis?
Let me stand here and think for about 10 minutes in real time.
Exactly.
Let me get
one step closer to death. Yes, I'm sorry.
I'll weigh in as an ambassador of goodwill for the Postal Service.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you that a lot of people, the reason that you see in line might be different from the people that you're looking to see in line.
Yes.
Those individuals probably, like you, knew their postage amount, had it all ready to go, and they went online and told the Postal Service on the website, which is USPS.com.
Thank you.
That they have a package they would like picked up, and your carrier that picks up either at your home or if you're at work, will pick that package up for you.
I didn't know you could do that.
You have to have the right amount of postage on it. That's all ready to go. But if you tell them I've got a carrier pickup, the carrier will come and pick.
Yeah, but see, but that's up. You do not feel that I am attempting. I'm not trying to do what to get into the trouble. I'm just saying, and I appreciate that offer and the service that it exists. I really do. But I'm just saying
there needs to be a separate smart line.
That's true as well. I mean, it really there ought to be. It's like one of those poll quizzes or poll tests or whatever it is you have to take on the South to vote.
Something should scan your brain
to see what your IQ is.
And then you will be set to there will be a light that flashes to send you to the appropriate line.
So it'll be like the line for Tim and then the line for people from Gresham.
Yeah. So like instead of 10, it's 140 IQ or more.
They're really, it ought to be, well, and here's the other thing. Don't think that I don't appreciate the fact that the post office will, I guess, as you just said, theoretically come by my house and pick stuff up. But that requires, like, how will I possibly know how much postage? Doesn't that require that I have one of those little cocaine scales at my house? How do I know?
And if that's the case and you don't have much postage?
Yeah.
Every post office now has what they call the APC, the Automated Postal Center.
Right.
It's a kiosk machine in the lobby that is before you get in line. It'll weigh the package for you. It'll sell you stamps. It'll let you enter. It'll give you a label and let you ask that. It'll let you put in the postage. It'll figure how much you owe.
Is this every post office has this now, you're saying?
Every post office in our area has one in the lobby.
When you say in our area, what is that?
I can only speak for the Portland metropolitan area.
Does that include Southeast, though? Because we're always the last to get everything.
Yes.
All right.
I live in Southeast. I work in Northeast. And yes, they have that one APC. Now, granted, there may be someone using it, but the line to the APC is almost always shorter than the line to the actual live people inside.
Yours is going to be broken.
Say mine. Somebody will have chiseled mine open to get quarters out to buy methamphetamine with.
It doesn't take cash, so you don't have to worry about that. It takes debit card or credit card.
All right. The Tim, of course, probably, you're in Tannersport. You probably got some Jetsons thing that, like, you go in there and, like, big mechanical arms come out and, like, fold it for you and you to take it.
Believe it or not, we don't have a post office. You have to either go to Beaverton or Hillsboro. And nobody wants to go to either place.
No, and, you know, and here's the thing. Here's what I'm waiting for in the future. I'm waiting for just every house will have one of those big vacuum tube things like they have at the bank.
I like that,
where you just put something in the tube and it goes... And it just goes and it just shoots off into
a thing.
See,
I like that.
Those things are fantastic.
No, I don't, because that would put me out of a job.
Well, we don't want that. All right, let's... Oh, well, by the way, we have John here. John, you have a question for Mailman Chris.
I do. First of all, hello everyone at the Rick Emerson Show. I love you guys.
God bless you, sir.
I'm really happy to be on the air. Sorry, that was kind of sappy. But quickly, Chris, I was wondering if when people want to tip their mailman, and see, my girlfriend just made a bunch of seven-layer bars, and I don't really have a lot of money to spend on tips. Do mailmen and women, do you guys get offended when people leave you, like, cookies and stuff? I heard that you guys don't like that. Is that true? And then I'm going to get off the air because my phone's going to die.
Hold on. Where did you hear this?
What?
Where did you hear this?
Well, my girlfriend said that she saw it on an episode of Friends, and I mentioned it to somebody else, and they said they'd also heard
that. Really, your cultural literacy ought to come from Friends above all else. That really is... That is the best place to learn everything about human nature, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
No, that was sarcasm. But my phone's going to die, so I'm going to go out.
Okay, well, listen to the answer on the air, then.
I will. All right. Direction for America.
All right, thank you, John. All right, there you go. Okay... This apparently turned into Ask a Postal Carrier. So if you have something you'd like to know about the Postal Service, the question apparently can be answered by Chris. The number is 503-733-2970.
I'd like to write a letter to Santa Claus. So who put that in the address?
So now I didn't think, are you allowed to tip your postal worker? I thought that was a thing you weren't allowed to do because there was some government regulation about it.
No, you're absolutely allowed to tip your postal carrier. We always appreciate that.
Okay.
There are regulations as to what we can receive versus dollars, you know. I'm not aware of what those regulations are, so I'm not going to try and specify. If someone's handing you a big wad of cash, which doesn't happen that often, I think there's rules about that. But a bottle of champagne, I've gotten bottles of champagne, tins of cookies, Some of the ladies on my route, they'll make me a loaf of banana bread or we appreciate anything that anyone spends the time or money to get us. You know, I recommend, you know, tipping your garbage person.
There's a whole, I've never tipped, and I know this makes me sound like an a-hole, but it just never occurred to me. I've never tipped any of these people in my life, ever. Ever.
I figure anyone that comes to your house on a daily or weekly basis and it's the same person all the time, you know, take care of them.
All right. Well, this has got to be the last one because Chris has got things to do. Hello, George. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, I was in my local Thriftway.
Is this George and Wilsonville?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I was going into my local Thriftway here in Wilsonville, and what did I see but two fine young people displaying Viso beverages to taste?
Yes.
And I came right up to them and said, "Hey, Rick Emerson tells me this is the best stuff on the planet." And they said, "Oh, yeah, we hear that a lot." See, this is Rick Brew here. So I tried some Vigor, which is the organic version, with the lovely organic sugar and all that stuff.
Yes.
And now I'm hooked, and I'm wondering, Chris once mentioned that he had the direct line to the distributor to get it by the case as cheaply as possible. Is that true?
Yes, I bought it through Melitus Beverage.
Melitus Beverage?
Melitus Beverage is the distributor in the Portland area. I believe they're on Swan Island. I can't remember.
I'm just going to go home. I don't really need to be here today.
What's the unit price that turned out to be on that when you go?
I'll just be over here whenever you guys are done.
I think it worked out at about $1.15 a bottle.
Well, that's a deal. Thank you very much, Chris. Take care. God bless.
All right. Well, thank you, George. All right, anybody else? Anybody else want any tips on how to remove stains from clothing or All right.
Not at this time.
Okay.
Wait, so you want to take the show back over now, Rick?
No, I mean, really, this is pretty... Likas has done that Ask a Mexican bit. It never occurred to me to do the Ask a Mailman. But apparently that is something that the audience was hungering for. All right, well, just real quick, let's just give you kind of a quick overview of what we got coming up. We got to kind of get on the stick here, as they say. Apparently, the people at CNN Radio refer to Jim Roop as... What is it, Kristen?
It's El Rupe.
As El Rupe. So we're going to find out what that's all about. We will ask you, the Rick Emerson audience, are you surrounded by morons? If so, call and tell us where and what they're doing. Bob Costantini will come on, and we will find out if he's exactly as thrilling as we always expect him to be. He is a whirling dervish. He's kinetic energy concentrated down. He's a capacitor of thrilling exposition just waiting to unleash himself.
I could go out and do my Christmas shopping, and he'd still be talking by the time I got back.
The best thing about him is that I can't tell. The thing about Bob Costantini, when are we talking at 12:30? I can't tell if Bob Costantini, if he now sort of knows and he sort of plays along with it, or if he really just is incapable of expressing any sort of actual humor or emotion, or if he really, like, if you were able to get a few belts of booze into him, if he really would be fun-loving, and if he just lives in fear of the CNN people.
Oh.
I can't really tell. So we'll find out. We got the top five rock and roll screams today. We will get to that. Top five rock screams. I'm trying to clear out some of the old top fives that we've piled up that haven't gotten to. We got to the top five rock and roll plane crashes the other day. We'll do top five rock and roll screams today because I want to be able to start anew when the new year gets here. So forth. Oh, and Scott Daly's going to be here later on. We'll talk about the bad films that you can't stop watching. Bad films, but you can't help watching.
There's been no shortage of those this year.
Man, I gotta tell you.
Why have Netflix when there's only like one good movie that comes out every 6 months?
Seriously. And every time you... Have you noticed this? That every time you turn on cable now, there's something with Ben Affleck in it. And I think we all, as a culture, took a vote sometime last year and decided we didn't want to watch any of his movies anymore.
Yeah.
And yet there they are, just appearing constantly. So anyway, there you go. There's that. That's pretty much what we got today.
Okay. Now I've got Are You Surrounded by Morons? Top 5 Screams. Scott, Bob Costantini, and El Rupe.
Yes. Yes, that is exactly what we're going to do.
Now, I took 3 off yesterday because you had gotten to everything. And then, unfortunately, 10 minutes after I leave, you decide not to get the top 20.
Well, I didn't say I would complete the top 20, but we did discuss the top... This is the top 20 hottest sci-fi babes of all time. Now, we did talk about the list with Aaron, by the way, who was plastered out of his mind on Romulan ale and said several things that had to be bleeped. But we didn't complete the segment, but we did discuss. And Kristen is my witness on this.
It's partially my fault, too, because we started talking about Final Fantasy.
That's what I'm saying. She kind of derailed this conversation, so...
Yeah, and the Romulan ale has to be blamed for it, too, because that was some damn fine stuff.
I don't even know. Aaron's at the coast today. I don't even think he'd be capable of picking up the phone and calling us if we wanted him to. So anyway, so there you go. So where am I at? 59.
You're at 59.
God bless you. All right, we'll check in with you at the end of today's program, sir.
Absolutely.
All right, there you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. All right. We're joined today by Kristen Bowie, who's in for Sarah Dillon. You're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and so forth, because you were up at like 5 a.m. to play Christmas music on Couple.
No, I was up at 3.
Oh,
yeah,
why?
She couldn't get to it fast enough.
You just couldn't. Yeah, I was gonna say, you just couldn't. You couldn't wait to hear that George Strait country song. Yeah.
I had or a Alabama. Little bit of an emergency I had to take care of. So.
Well, all right then. That was suddenly awkward. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, there's been a bloody brawl in a Texas bar sparked by an argument over bathroom hygiene.
Fantastic.
At least one comedian supports Michael Richards. A former KGB agent is killed by a radioactive substance. And this year's Portland Zoo Lights will feature flying monkeys.
All right then. There you go. Let's see. We've got this. Rick. This discussion of the sound is fantastic. Are you going to do a Tradio segment after Ask Mr. Postman? We really just did turn into KPAM there for like...
No,
a good
we have to do letters to Santa Claus.
And then this program has to be moved to midnight to 4.
Who wants to be the elf?
Rick, I'm dying to know more about this noise you're hearing. How would you compare it to the sound of a ruler taped to a life game wheel hitting a doorstop? Because that's a noise we can all identify.
Oh,
best
no.
Show ever, Stephen Canby. Fantastic. All right. I got nothing. I have no time to talk about anything, except I got a drunken message from Sarah last night. And apparently she did the, whatever, like 8 shots or something at the airport when she flew out of here. She blacked out by the time she hit Chicago. She doesn't remember the second half of the plane flight at all. She apparently just woke up in the barn at Nate's house. And that's got to be a disconcerting sensation. when you're a city girl. You're just waking up in the middle of a...
in your own nativity scene.
Totally. Oh, did you hear about that nativity chick who's all pregnant?
No.
Not Mary. The okay,
this is, this is a new Mary.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. All right, coming to the bottom of the hour, Ed McCarthy will join us. We'll have Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth and so forth. It's the Friday after Thanksgiving. We're live. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, an answer to your question about the other day about where does water go? Short answer is it goes somewhere else. Long answer, of all the water in the world, 3% is... This is a really long, tedious email. Blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah-da-da-blah. Here's the only part of this email I really care about. Rick, the water in your drink, yes, was part of someone or something's urine. See, that's what I'm saying. The thing that took... That's the best look. Kristen has the very best look on her face. No, it's true. This is like in Britain. They have that whole thing where Tony Blair is like, we need to begin drinking more recycled urine. And he had this whole thing about that Britain, they've lost all of their water somewhere. They had it and then it went somewhere else. And so Tony Blair is this whole thing about that they're going to begin recycling toilet waste. And I made the observation that really, when you think about it, I'm not trying to be horrifying. And it's not the news hour yet anyway. And I would save all the truly horrifying things for the news hour. I was making the observation that when you think about it, really, all water, it's recycled urine. Really, in sort of a grand overarching sense.
Even if it's a dinosaur.
No, that's what I'm saying. It at some point was inside the bladder of something. Great show yesterday. I love how the voices get louder and the speech gets more slurred as the day progresses. That was yesterday, Thanksgiving show. It reminded me of that drinking show you once had on the previous station. Boy, that could have been any number of days, really. I have no idea. I don't even remember what drinking show that you're talking about. I still remember the day when I listened to Clyde get sloppy and go into a screaming rant about fruit-flavored beer. One of a freaking kind. And can you explain the appeal of Freddy's half... Can you... I don't understand it. Can you explain the appeal of Fred Meyer's half sock sale that people line up for? WTF. No, because I'm not really sure what you're talking about. But thank you anyway. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Dirty South, our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, and mellow purveyor of knowledge, Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
Rick, how are you?
Brother man, I am fine. You know why? Because I'm not in line at a store. I'm not buying anything sold, processed, or selling anything processed, bought, sold today. I'm here, and I'm not at a store.
I was going to say, not a lot of knowledge, because you, if you were at a store and you saw some of the folks I did today, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Why do these people do this?
Because they're idiots, Ed, and I know that you as a CNN journalist are not really able to make that observation because you're supposed to have journalistic objectivity, but you and I both know that it's just because they're dumb. Really, it really is like lining up just to have someone kick you in the nads, right? I mean, there's nothing pleasant about shopping today.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Did you you didn't hear any of the stuff that I had today from the mall?
I was having some network issues early on. Do you have actualities?
I don't have one right now, but I tell you, this is really funny. There was a baby that was crying as I was doing an interview, and I said, "Is the kid getting into the Christmas spirit?" And the woman in her best Southern drawl said, "The escalator scared the hell out of me." These were the kind of people I was dealing with today, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I'm here at the CNN Radio website here.
Yeah, that was the one that I think it was the last one I fed down. The last wrap I fed down there.
All right, hold on. Let me search
Radio Lingo wrap.
Let me search very quickly here, McCarthy. Let's see, holiday shopping. Let's see. Not all those in the stores today are enjoying their shopping experience. Is that her?
Could be.
All right, let's see. It's a 35-second rap, Ed McCarthy scene. Let's see if we can play this here. Let me make sure that I open this. This is really gripping radio right here as I'm opening an MP3 file through the Winamp program on my computer. All right, let's see here. This and this is right between something about... this is right between one of Roop's things and... All right, here we go. So this is...
The hardcore shoppers continue to want the Mall of Georgia, the largest in the Southeast, looking for good buys. Sometimes not really sure what they want, especially when it comes to a toy purchase.
Don't know, just looking.
Barney's stuff.
Barney's pretty popular, huh?
It is with our little kids.
Here it comes.
Is he getting in the Christmas spirit? 137 million shoppers are battling through crowds today. Many like it so much, they'll do it again this weekend. Ed McCarthy, CNN, Buford, Georgia.
In Buford, Georgia just sounds like
it. That tells you a lot, doesn't it? That's the name of the town. Yeah, that tells you a lot. That's close to where we live. So when you were asking me yesterday, you know, if I have anybody that is like from that TV show, you know, the cartoon.
Right.
I said, you know, absolutely. We have neighbors like that. I mean, it's frightening. It really is.
Buford, Georgia just sounds like a smart place, doesn't it? And really, it doesn't. I mean, being scared by an escalator, I know it's a child and so forth, but it does sort of feed into that image of the Southerners perhaps not always being the most advanced people on Earth. That's kind of like being afraid that the magic camera box is going to take your soul away.
Now, but let me tell you this. Why do you think the child was afraid of the escalator? Why would you bring a stroller on an escalator?
I don't know. I don't know. And if the kid really screeches when it sees the escalator, what that says to me is there's some sort of horribly bad parenting incident in the past. You know, like two or three weeks ago where mom wasn't paying attention. The kid decided to find out where the metal stairs went. In goes the hand, you know, and then or something. The idea that they would not only line up today to shop, but then, as you said, already making plans to do it again tomorrow because today just wasn't torturous enough.
I love it. It was torturous enough for me when I left that place today, and I said, that's it.
Yeah.
We'll see you January 1st.
How long did you spend inside the shopping center?
Well, I got there this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. You know, you have to get there. Then I get inside, and they're all set to go, and they're all ready to fight for toys.
Where people are, what time were people lining up there?
They were 4:30 in the morning.
Good God. All right, let's see. I've got one more here for you. This is another black, it's called the Black Friday cut. This is another cut from the thriving metropolis that is Buford,
Shoppers
Georgia.
Continue their pursuit of holiday gifts on this traditional big shopping day dubbed Black Friday. With discounts promised by merchants like KB Toys, customers say they're working.
I got like six toys. Yeah. So I got a lot of good deals, yeah. I'm happy with it. Yeah. I've never gotten up this early to go shopping, so.
It would work it.
It would work it.
Absolutely.
I guess.
Toy shoppers looking for Tickle Me Elmo usually settle for Elmo's brother Twist and Shout Elmo.
Oh my God.
Ed McCarthy, CNN, Buford, Georgia.
I weep for this country sometimes.
That's the kind of stuff we stoop to on, we stoop this low on the day after Thanksgiving. And my apologies to everybody.
No, it's okay, because, you know, you take that bullet so that we don't have to, my friend. That's the great thing about it. And, I mean, I don't have any kids. We're not, as I've said repeatedly, we're not a child-having people here on the Rick Emerson Show. So we are not the, I don't really pretend to know about kids or what they want or what they don't want or whatever. But doesn't it seem like we've been running that same story about the big toy this year is the Tickle Me Elmo for about 15 years?
Big toy for the drug runners has been the Tickle Me Elmo because they were buying them all up and they were putting meth in there and running it across the border.
Tie me off, Elmo. Is that true, really?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Oh, yeah, they got like $20 million worth of meth, the really pure stuff that was coming over the border, and they were all... It was all hidden in Tickle Me Elmo dolls.
It just seems like we as a society ought to have moved on from Elmo and Barney by now. There used to be some sort of a... maybe not. I don't know. It's like, I guess I don't really understand. Okay, you tickle him and he laughs, and then you're done. I mean, it seems like the thrill would have worn off by about the 15th year of the story. But
well, people get into wrestling matches and fist fights over that.
Oh man, let me just tell you this real quickly. I saw the best thing this morning. It was a video of a guy crying on the news somewhere because he wasn't able to buy a DVD player. I swear to God, he was at a Target. He was in one of, you know, just one of those states where people are sort of have big teeth and they're dumb. It was like Iowa, and he's there, and he was waiting outside, camping out front. It was like, you know, it was like people camping out for Springsteen tickets back in the 80s. The guy's waiting out in line in like a pup tent or something, you know, and he's been there since like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Store opens, guy rushes in, he's doing like the linebacker thing down the aisle. Somehow, some sort of chaos ensues. He's not really able to get the DVD player he wants, and then the news guys are there outside, and the guy just begins blubbering like a child. He said, my whole holiday season is ruined. I wasn't able to get the DVD. It was the most satisfying thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, he didn't take his medication.
Oh, it was fantastic. Really, those are there are those who do, and there are those who watch and enjoy, Ed McCarthy, and you and I fall into that that latter category.
That's it. That's right. And I do, too. I really enjoy that. I love it.
Fantastic. All right. Do you have a fantastic holiday after we spoke to you yesterday?
Yes, it was fun. We really had a nice time. I had the neighbors over, and as I said, she was a flight attendant, so she had to get out of here. So it was really I felt kind of guilty because I took the dog for a quick walk to kind of get him out of the way, and took one of the dogs down the street and back, and then they were gone.
That's okay. Your wife sounded charming as well, by the way. So our
Kathy is great. She did a wonderful job yesterday, and she worked for hours cooking that meal, and it was just really super. And I felt we had my mother over who lives nearby, and I really felt bad because I laid on the couch for a second watching the Cowboys, and that was it. And then I woke up, and I didn't hear any noises, and she had to take her home.
Good times. Rip, one final observation before we go. I guess what else am I going to do? But have you heard anybody at CNN refer to Jim Roop as El Rupe?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, I have.
From whence does that derive?
I don't know. They use that term very loosely in the newsroom.
Interesting. So we've discovered that you are sometimes, and again, I'm simply passing this observation along, not making any comment about it. You are sometimes special ed.
Yeah.
He's El Rupe.
Right.
Are there any other nicknames that I really need to be apprised of?
Let's see here. We've got John Lawrence. What do they call him? Stretch. Because the guy's real tall. They call him Stretch.
All right, so I guess it's up to me then to create nicknames for everybody else.
Yeah, and of course we have a couple of nicknames for a couple of other people which we don't want to put on the air.
I'm just filling those blanks in my head right now.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Ed McCarthy, enjoy your Friday and your Southern weekend, my friend. We will speak to you very soon.
We'll talk to you next week, Rick.
There you go, brother. Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent in Atlanta. All right, see Kristen, and then we'll talk to, who the hell is this, Bob? We'll talk to Bob here in a second, who's got some sort of bone to pick with Mailman Chris. You are not here to speak to. Who did you get when you called CNN today?
I got Richard.
You got Richard, and you got Tyler yesterday, right?
Yes.
Have you been here to get the? Have you had speaks with Laura Caviezel?
She's been on vacation every time I fill in.
Here's the thing: is that Laura Caviezel's been on vacation for about 15 days now, and nobody's really sure. Is her name even still showing up on the?
I didn't see
on
it.
The scene. Oh, Christmas might come early for Sarah Dillon. Let's welcome, by the way, we'll get this call, and then I got news that hurts. If we have time, we'll do news that hurts in this segment. What the hell else am I doing? Oh, we're playing some Christmas crap as well. And speaking of, Bob, just hold on just one second before I ask you to expound on your comments on the screen here. I have this one Christmas song that I wanted to play. We started off Christmas time in hell. I had this song. That a guy sent me like 2 years ago, and I spent about 40 minutes looking for, and at my computer at home, you know what, I'm doing this all backward. I'm going to put a pin in this, I'm going to talk about this in just a minute.
Rick, you're rambling again.
Just hold on there, friend. I'll talk about this in a second. I was putting a pin in this so that I could get to your call more quickly, you ungrateful weasel. How can I help you, Bob?
Well, Mailman Chris is wrong. There's not APCs in every post office location in the Portland area.
An APC is what?
An automated postal center.
Oh, no. There
are APCs at every post office.
He said that, but I sort of assumed that it wasn't the case because I don't know about y'all. I don't know where you live. What general area do you live in?
I live in Portland.
Okay, could you...
I work for the post office.
Oh, you do? Okay, I was going to ask, but I mean, as a citizen, I was going to... Okay, so you work for the post office.
Yes.
And you're saying this isn't true. And see, that, I don't know for sure because I haven't gone and looked for specifically that thing he's talking about, but I live in Southeast, and there's this one post office, and I won't specify which one it is, but there's this one post office I go to in Southeast, and I swear to God, man, it's like they have to add things up on the abacus in there. Really, it's like you're stepping into about 1972 when you walk into that place.
The problem that they're having is they had an IBM system and a POS 1 system. That's what software that was used for when you go to the retail counter.
Right.
So they decided to get rid of the IBM system that they used over here and go with the system from back east. So they rolled it out all the way across, but the problem is it's run on a Pentium 4 processor, and we're still running, computer processors from about 1974. So that's why everything's so slow.
Okay. I simply thought it was because you were government employees who couldn't be fired, and therefore you had no real motivation to operate
quickly. Well, it's true. It does take an act of Congress to get an employee out.
I was going to say, baby, you're there forever. It doesn't matter.
But I feel your pain about people at the counter and such, because I've worked the counter before to today's my day off, so luckily I didn't have to do that today.
Now, is today a terrible day?
I'm sorry?
Is today, like, the day, because it's the biggest shopping day of the year, so they always say, but is today a bad day at the post office?
No.
What is the worst?
Shopping.
What's the single worst day to work the counter at the post office?
Pretty much about 2 weeks before Christmas, and then the first week of January.
Because everybody is either everybody is there. Yeah, they've woken up and they realize that they only got a couple days to get whatever the fruit pie in the mail, and then of course the first week of January, which is when you get all the guilt mailing, right? When everybody's like, oh, I missed Christmas, I got to get out right now.
Oh, it's horrible.
All right. So if I hit the post office later on today, which I do have to do, it is not going to be terrible, is it?
No.
All right. Excellent. All right. Thank you, sir. Are you spreading the word about this very fine radio program?
Of course I am.
Excellent. Thank you.
But one comment. When somebody comes in and asks how much a 39-cent stamp is, take everything I have and not jump over the counter and strangle them.
Fantastic. There you go. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Right.
There you go. There's Bob. Speaking from inside the bowels of a postal service somewhere. All right, it's 503-733-2970. What was I going to say? Oh, so we started off the top of the show today by playing the Christmas Time in Hell. And I have, or had, a couple years ago, some guy gave me this. And I played it a couple of times, and then I remember playing it at the Fisher Building. And I don't think we had it when we moved to Entercom. Did we even make it through a Christmas at Entercom before they fired us? I'm trying to remember. Because we moved over to Entercom in March of 2000. Boy, that's a thing that my mom does that I find myself doing now that I get old. Do you ever find yourself doing something where you make a noise, you answer the phone, you say something, a phrase comes out of your mouth, and you realize it's exactly something that your parents used to do, and you never used to do it, and then suddenly you've started doing it? My dad used to answer the phone not by saying hello, but by saying yellow, like with a Y. It was like a Y-E-L-L-O, like upwardly inflected at the end, which is a thing I never used to do, and now I do it all the time. See, also, when I'm thinking about something, I will go, which is like a stupid rabbit-like noise that my mom used to make that I equate with being old and out of touch with life, and now I find myself making it all the time. My point here is that we went over to Entercom at March of 2003. So, no, we were there through a Christmas because they didn't fire us till April of 2000. No, that's not right either. I honestly don't know what the hell I'm talking about right now. The point here is, what is my point? Yes, that someone had given us at Fisher this copy of Oh Holy Night, and everybody thought it was Adam Sandler, and it wasn't. I could tell that. I don't know who it was, but I know that it wasn't Adam Sandler. But it was some a version of O Holy Night, which is the single worst, and by worst I mean terrible, but also brilliant, recording of a Christmas song that I have ever heard in my life. And it's about 4 minutes long. It starts, and if any of you were listening at that Christmas a couple years ago, you remember us playing it probably. It starts off with a guy going, you know, Oh Holy Night, and it just degenerates with the guy just this adenoidal screaming. It's impossible really to describe if you didn't hear it. The point is, I wanted to play it today, and I cannot find it for the life of me. And I am really anal retentive about tracking my files on the computer. I got like a whole software system that I installed at home just to track MP3s and individual audio cuts on my computer, because I just got thousands and thousands of them. And if anybody knows, the two things that we lost when we came from Fisher to Entercom, and then from Entercom to unemployment, and from unemployment to here, the two things that got lost in that transition were the Happy Effing Birthday song, which I have just looked everywhere. I mean, I have done the equivalent of, it is like when you're looking for bus fare and you find yourself lifting up all the cushions on the couch. I have done that equivalent action on my computer, just looking at every unused folder, every alternate drive, every removable drive that I've got at home for that Happy Effing Birthday song. And I have no idea for the life of me where that song went to. And everybody asked about it. Every time there's a birthday on the program, every time somebody turns X years old, everybody's like, are you going to play the Happy Effing Birthday song? And I can never, and don't. I don't blame me. I can't find it. I've looked. That and this Oh Holy Night, which, for the life of me, I just cannot figure out where the hell it went to. And it is really, we are all poorer for it. Because it's, just like the Happy Happy Birthday song, it's so hard to find crap that hasn't just been played to death by every other idiot DJ on earth. You know what I mean? It's like, you see, like,
cliche.
You work in radio. I mean, can I ask for the stations that you, we're here with Kirsten Bowie, who's in for Sarah Dillon today. Now, may I ask, notwithstanding the stations you are currently at, stations you have worked at in the past in Portland?
The entire Intercom cluster, pretty much. I've done work with all of them, then pretty much the entire CBS cluster
right.
as well.
So. Did you work at KGON? Did you ever do any on-air stuff at KGON?
I didn't do any on-air stuff there.
Okay, because if you had, see, here's the thing. If you ever work at a classic rock station during Christmas time, all it takes is one Christmas at a classic rock station, and you will, first of all, never be able to listen to that the John Lennon So This Is Christmas thing ever again, ever. Look, and I love John Lennon, I really do, but for the love of sweet Christ on a crutch, we need like a 10-year period where nobody plays that song. See also that Cheech and Chong Santa and His Old Lady thing. I would rather have hot forks driven into my eye sockets than hear that Cheech and Chong Christmas thing again. So, I mean, that is so long ago, surpassed that Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer thing. It's the song that I don't ever need to hear played again.
Which I heard this morning.
And see, and that, it's like, you know, the thing about the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, it's a terrible song, but it's like, it's not as bad as everybody says. I mean, it's terrible, but there are Christmas songs that are way worse than that. Just stuff that I don't ever need to hear again. And for a while, I worked in Top 40 for a while, and there was this awful Mariah Carey Christmas song that we had to play. God, it was like every 90 minutes, just for what seemed like an eternity. It just seemed like it was about 6 months out of the year.
Was that like during her height?
Something. It's something. Yeah, it would have been like in the early, mid-90s, something like that. But anyway, so this Oh Holy Night song was great because I'd never heard anybody else play it. So this is a long monologue about something that really is pointless because nobody even... Because I will now not be able to climax this monologue by playing the song. So, you know, I got nothing. Let's take a break here. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth at the AM 970 noon news hour. What the hell else do I have? Let's see. We have Bob Costantini coming up, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, News That Hurts, Top 5 Rock and Roll Screams, And more Christmas crap as we pile on with the holiday overload on this post-Thanksgiving Friday. And we got some calls coming, and we'll get those as well. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you're surrounded by morons today, we want to know where and what they're doing. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show.